Good morning, West University. It is an honor and privilege to get to share with you this morning in these extremely odd circumstances. You know, over the past few weeks and the past couple of months, we've had the opportunity to kind of begin to understand some of the difficulty of the current moment. I was able to have a conversation with Hilton Merritt a few weeks ago about some of his friends who have recently passed during this difficult time and some of the challenges that have gone with that. There's the financial challenges of the current moment with job loss at all-time highs and with the oil and gas industries that are so important to Texas taking a big hit. There are the social realities of what's going on. And the questions of when will schools open again and when will we be able to have events and when will churches be able to gather together in person again? And I think all of this moment, this situation, this challenging time that we're in raises a very important question that I want to spend our time together this morning discussing. And it's simply this question. What is God like? Will you pray with me? God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful to have this time together this morning, God. God, this isn't the way we would typically spend our time together, but God, this is the way that you have gathered us. And God, it is you that gathers us. It is you that unites us. And so, God, while we gather virtually this morning, I pray that your spirit be with all of us, that your spirit be moving, and God, that we will have a clear sense of who you are and what you're about. God, I pray that you give me the gift of preaching this morning. God, I pray that you give the people of West University comfort and peace as we begin to learn who you are and what you're about. God, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and it's in him I pray. Amen. Well, I do want to give you a little bit of an introduction of who I am and my family. My name is Jordan Tatum. I am living up in Woodbury, Minnesota. I came up here about 6 years ago and have been living in Minnesota. Have a wonderful wife named Lindsay. We've been married for 12 years now. Lindsay is a pediatric ER nurse, and so her job right now is a lot different than my job right now. But she's very gifted at that, and a wonderful wife. We have a 7-year-old son named Micah, and Micah is a whole lot of fun. And so what I want to begin with right now is just telling you a little bit about some of the similarities between Micah and myself. I'm sure you've heard the saying, like father, like son, and with us, that is very much the case. A few months ago, we were down in Lubbock, Texas, where my family and Lindsay's family both live. And we were sitting in church with my family that morning. And it was my dad sitting to my left, Micah sitting between us, and then me on the right. And so Lindsay is over a little bit further down the row. And she looks down the row and sees that Micah, my dad, and myself are all sitting with our legs crossed the exact same way. We have a very particular way, apparently, that Tatum men sit with their legs crossed. And it was amusing because it seems to be generational. It seems to be the case that from generation to generation, we all sit the same way. That's one of the ways that Micah and I are like each other. Another way has to do with sports. I love sports. I have loved sports since I was a young child. I remember when the Dallas Cowboys were in the Super Bowl 27 against the Buffalo Bills, and we were at this church party where we were watching the Super Bowl. That was the idea, but I was young. I was Micah's age at the time. And all the kids were running around and they were playing. They had footballs and they were throwing it around. But I was sitting there watching my favorite team play. And I had more knowledge about the team as a 7-year-old than the majority of the adults at the party did. Because I care about sports information. I don't know why. It's not like it's useful information for me, but I care about it. And Micah seems to have picked up on that as well. Micah really likes sports information. In fact, I was picking him up from his daycare a couple of weeks ago, and he was having a really significant debate about who some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL are. And I heard him, this might be good news for some of you guys, I heard him say that Deshaun Watson is better than Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins being the local guy, Deshaun Watson being the Houston guy. So Micah cares deeply about something that I care deeply about at his age as well. But I don't pass on to Micah only traits that are harmless or funny. I also have passed on traits that are less than good. One of the things that Micah and I share in common, and it's something that I've tried to work on a little bit, is that we will both argue with a fence post. We like to argue. We like to debate. And this is something that Lindsay doesn't appreciate as much as I do. But the reality of our lives, the reality of who we are, is that if you get to know Micah, you would have a pretty good idea of who I am. If you get to know Micah, my son, you would have a good idea of who I am as well. The trait that I'm most proud of in Micah, and it's a trait that Lindsay has more than I do, but I have a little bit, is the trait of sympathy and sympathy turning into empathy. I really saw this when we were fostering a couple of kids a few years ago. There was a time where we had these two baby boys for about 10 days that we were just, you know, it was our first foster kids. And we were doing our best to serve them, to love them, to protect them. And I saw in Micah in that moment just the most genuine, loving, sympathetic care for other human beings. Micah would want to rock them. He would want to help them with their baths. He would want to, you know, make sure that if Lindsay needed him to go get something, that he would get up immediately and go do it. His sympathy and his empathy for these boys was just wonderful. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to get into disaster relief work. After Hurricane Katrina hit in New Orleans and that part of the Gulf, there was an opportunity to serve just locally in Lubbock at the time. I was a freshman in college. And so there was an opportunity to serve. And so I got drawn into this local service. But eventually it turned into actually going to the sites where disasters happened and being able to lend a helping hand. And I was able to do that after Katrina. I did that 4 times in the Gulf area. After Katrina, after Hurricane Rita, we went and stayed at Impact Church of Christ and went down to Galveston and helped in different places after Hurricane Rita. After the tornadoes in Joplin, Missouri, and then in Moore, Oklahoma, I was able to go and serve those communities by partnering with really good organizations. And I was drawn to that out of sympathy and empathy. Like, if that would have happened to me, if I would have been in the middle of that, I would have wanted people rallying around and helping as soon as possible. But when I stepped into those places, when I was in the midst of the devastation, the destruction, and the death that was associated with these disasters, it raised serious questions for me. My sympathy and empathy led me to ask questions about the nature and the character of God. And I still think that's the question going on in people's minds today, especially with the difficulty of the current moment. You know, I talked about that a little bit at the beginning, but the realities of what is going on now and not having clear answers about what caused this or what's behind this or what's it going to look like in the future, I think all of those questions converge. And for believers in particular, it leads us to ask questions of where is God in this? What is God doing in this? And I think underneath that is the simple question, what is our God like? And so these are some of the ways that I've heard people answer this question over the last couple months. I heard somebody point to the story of Noah, saying that this current moment is similar to the time of Noah, when God was just so tired of all the violence, so upset with the people, so ready for this situation to be done, that he decides to send the flood. And that the faithful were able to be saved, but the faithful was one family. That God is judging us. That is why God has sent this. God is angry. I've heard some people talk about the COVID and this current situation, similar to the way that they think of the plagues on Egypt, that they think that this is kind of like God sending the boils. This is kind of like God sending the frogs. This is kind of like God killing the livestock, or the plague of the firstborn, that God is judging us. God is humbling us. God is angry. God is cleaning house. I've heard other people point to some other stories that maybe God is, their version is that God is a little more passive. And so I've heard somebody recently talk about this is similar to the story of Job, where in the story of Job, if you remember the first scene of the story, there's this heavenly court. And the people gather, or the people, the God gathers, and there are these angelic beings, and Satan shows up. And Satan says, have you considered your servant Job? God says, there's no one like him. And God says, or Satan says, but if I tested him, he wouldn't be like that. And so God allows Job to be tested in a series of ways that probably make us a little bit uncomfortable. Job loses his family. Job loses his livelihood. Job loses everything but his life. And God is in the background, kind of passive, allowing it to happen in order to test Job. And God's answer in the end is, "You don't understand me. Stop trying to understand me." In the story of Abraham and Isaac, God is kind of passive as well. God tells Abraham, go sacrifice your son, and Abraham has to do it. And God doesn't step in. God doesn't say, well, never mind. Eventually, it is stopped. Yes, it is. But God is passive in that story, just waiting in the background, allowing it to happen. And I've heard people talking recently about God being passive right now. God is allowing this to happen. God is just sitting on high watching it happen. He's not behind it. Church, those stories, the stories of Noah and the plagues on Egypt and Job and Abraham and Isaac, all of those stories are inspired and good. But I do not believe that they are the best way for us to figure out what God is like. You see, we are Church of Christ people. And it's important for us to remember why we are who we are. The Church of Christ belongs to Christ. And I'm not talking just specifically about a denomination or a group. I'm talking about being the people who claim that Christ is our head. One of my favorite pastors that I follow on Twitter is a guy named Bruxy Cravey. He's a guy up in Canada. And he wrote this a long time ago, and it's just stuck with me. And I'd like to share it with you this morning. He wrote this. He said, God has revealed himself through things like a fire, like a bush, and a pillar of smoke. but none of those are made in the image of God. So when God shows himself through his own image and likeness as a human, the result is exponentially increased clarity. To know God, start with Jesus. As we are trying to learn and think and consider what God is like, the place we must begin is with Jesus. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting in verse 7. And in John chapter 14, starting in verse 7, Jesus answers this. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Church, I know that you probably know that passage well. I know that that's a passage that was drilled into me as a memory verse as a child. But I want you to pay attention to what comes next. Jesus continues. He says, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." You see, Jesus is making it clear here. If you want to know what God is like, if that is something that really matters to you, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. The clearest picture of God we can get is in and through Jesus. That's why Paul, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he says this. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the image of God." When you want to have a picture of God, an image of God, it is Jesus. And then in verse 19, he says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." The fullness of God dwelled in the person Jesus. The clearest picture we can get of God is Jesus. The writer of Hebrews, one of my favorite books in the entire Bible, the writer of Hebrews says this in the very first three verses. He says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets and at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe." And pay attention to this next part. He says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." I want to read that part again just because I think it's so powerful. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. There are a lot of different pictures we can have of God right now. There are pictures of God as a God being angry and God being vindictive and God being ready to let out his wrath on humanity. And then there are pictures of God being, so passive and just sitting back and allowing things to happen and not being involved. But the clearest picture that we have of God is not through assuming things of God now. It's through looking at Jesus. Because we believe that we have a God who looks like Christ. In Woodbury, at the church I served in, we talked a lot about being Christ-like. And one of the things I've begun to realize is that our God is Christ-like. And I don't say that to say that God is somehow less than Christ or some lesser version of Christ. That would be ridiculous. What I am saying is that the clearest picture we have of God is Christ. And so what do we need to do to shape our faith in a God who is like Christ? I want to offer you three simple practices that you can do this week, three simple things that you can incorporate into what you are already doing in order to really shape our faith in a God who is like Christ. The first one is this, and this is just a suggestion. Read the Gospel of John, the passage that we focused on this morning, John chapter 14, is one of those passages that's really significant. But even the scripture reading that we had from John chapter 1, these passages show us just the link, how Christ-like our God is. And so the more we get to know Christ, the deeper we follow Christ, the more we explore Christ, the more we will get to know our God. The second suggestion is to prayerfully consider what we read. You know, there are many moments in the Bible, many moments in the Gospel of John in particular, where we see Jesus doing things that we might not expect. Like when Jesus is meeting with the woman at the well, the kindness that he shows to this outsider woman, the kindness that he shows to somebody who is of a different ethnicity, the kindness that Jesus shows to a sinful person, that might not be what we expect, but that is what he is showing God to be. We need to ask questions about what is God like, and we need to do this in prayer. We need to ask God to shine a light on the ways that our view of God isn't shaped by Jesus, so that it can be shaped by Jesus. The third practice that I would recommend, particularly at this time, is to look at the world and is all that is happening within it with the eyes of Jesus. You see, in John chapter 3, Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, and Jesus says, God so loves the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Church, the reality is we have a God that loves the world. A God that loves the world so much that he desires to save the world. A God that loves the world so much that he doesn't condemn sinners to be away from him, but invites them to be a part of the people of God. Church, our God doesn't look like some of these pictures that people are putting out there. Our God looks like Christ. And I believe that is good news for us. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share with the people of West University. I thank you for the words that you have put on my heart. God, I thank you for the things that your scriptures have been showing to me. And God, I pray that they will continue to open up and continue to show me who you are and what you're about. God, I pray that you be with us in this moment, that you give us wisdom, and God, that you give us as much clarity as we need. But God, I pray more than that, that you give us trust, that you help us to trust in you more and more. God, we love you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.